5 weeks ago we were here and we were looking at Psalm number one, and we looked at the first two verses. And we had said at that time that this psalm was like a signpost. It was a direction, and we all know what a signpost is. A signpost is something, a direction sign that points us in a way. It directs us in a way that we should go. If you're driving in your car and you come to a signpost, it will tell you where the little place is, perhaps if you want to go, and the distance to that place. It's a signpost that points the way in the direction that we should go. And we describe this psalm as that directing psalm that points to the Christian man or the woman, the believer. It points to them the way in which they should go, the direction that they should take. So we consider this as a signpost to blessedness. And we had said that the term blessed was a plural word. It was a plurality of blessedness. It was blessednesses. And so that plurality was applied to that word. That's what it actually means. And we looked at verse 1 and what a believer, a Christian man or woman, should not do negatively. It should not do. And that he should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He should not stand in the way of sinners, nor should he sit in the seat of the scornful. And then in verse 2, we considered what he ought to do in a positive way. And that was that his delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we are to be like this description that we are in Psalm 1 that we're going to look at this morning in verse 3, and just verse 3 only. And I just want to read the first three verses again. We're only looking at verse 3 this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 3 is a depiction of a green and fruitful tree. So we now come to consider verse 3 in Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted. I want to give you 5 points this morning. 5 points, and I want to look at them. I'll make them brief as I can, seeing there is 5 points. I want to look at, firstly, its soil. This tree, its soil. Okay? Second, its situation. That's the second point. Number 3 is the tree's yield, its yield. Number 4 is its foliage. What's on the branches? And number 5, its maturity. Okay? So we're going to look at verse 3 and those 5, under those 5 points. And he shall be like a tree planted, its soil. Number 1, its soil. He shall be like a tree planted. This is a simile. It's a figure of speech. The man or the woman who fulfills the conditions that are laid down in verses 1 and 2 will be like this tree planted by the rivers of water. It must be said that this verse describes the internal and external characteristics of the man and woman who meet, and listen carefully, who meet the qualifying conditions of verses 1 and 2. This is describing the man or woman who meet the qualifying conditions that are described in verses 1 and 2. And so this green and fruit-bearing tree is described for us as a tree planted by the rivers of water. It is not representative of everyone. Only those men and women who are, as we have said before, who are actively obeying the instructions and satisfying those conditions in verses 1 and 2 can only genuinely be regarded as this descriptive picture painted by this tree planted by the rivers of water. So the fruitful tree, where does it grow its soil? We notice in this verse that it is like a tree planted. Planted, a tree planted. Not a wild tree. Not some kind of a bush, perhaps outside, who has been just had seeded by chance. But a deliberate planting. A tree planted, a deliberate planting. The location has been carefully chosen as being beneficial to growth. So the soil and the situation of this tree are most important. You see, the Christian man and woman who has been likened onto this green and fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water, you see, the tree itself, in and of itself, does not produce the fruitfulness. Now, this is an important point. Because we could have taken this tree, this young sapling, this tree, and we could have planted it in pure soil, where there was no moisture or no access to water. And what would have happened? It would have simply withered, dried up, and died. So the soil and the situation are the most important factors in the growth and development of this tree. It's the advantages of soil and situation that constitute the fruitfulness. It's the location where it is planted. So what is the good ground believer planted in? So this is a picture of the believer planted in good ground and good soil. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Colossian church, in chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7 said this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Listen, "rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in him. This planting of every believer in good ground is the work of God. The work of God. The Lord Jesus made reference to this kind of planting in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. He says, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Again, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60 and verse 1, he talks about God's people in general. And he says these words, "Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting." You see, who was the planter? "The branch of my planting was the Lord. The work of my hands, that I may be glorified." The branch of my planting, the works of my hands, that I may be glorified. That is number one, the soil. Secondly, its situation. It tells us in verse 3, not only is it a tree planted, but it is planted by the rivers of water. You'll notice it doesn't say the river of waters, but rather the rivers, plural, the rivers of water. You see, Israel, for the most part, is a hot and dry land. A plant to grow anywhere must have access to water. This expression, rivers of water, is an allusion to the Eastern method of cultivation. Irrigation channels would be dug out in lines. And then when I was in Israel some years ago, I seen this method of irrigation. Long channels dug out in long rows, long straight rows, like a trench, if you like, narrow, shallow trenches, dug out in long rows, side by side, just running row by row, long rows, and the trees were planted then in the soil that run alongside these furrows, these trenches that were dug out. You see the picture. So these irrigation channels would be dug out in lines, and then the water would be diverted from a river and simply brought along these channels and blocked off if need be, and then opened up as required, and the water would simply just run down the trenches, each row at a time, and irrigate the whole piece of land that had been cultivated for the planting of these trees. So the water would have been diverted from a river or perhaps a reservoir or a pool of water that had been constructed to establish an unfailing supply. To establish an unfailing supply. King Solomon described this method of cultivation and irrigation in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. King Solomon said, "I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits, and I made pools of water to water therewith." You see what King Solomon was saying, that he had constructed these pools of water, these reservoirs, so that there would be sufficient water in the drought, in the dry times, to ensure that the water would be channeled down to the trees that were planted to produce the required fruit. And this method of cultivation and irrigation was an essential process. It was essential if the husbandman or the farmer was to gather in a bountiful fruit harvest. It was essential, this method of cultivation and irrigation, especially in a dry land. And with regard to this planting by the rivers of water, a large part of the tree was out of sight. The root system was out of sight. You couldn't see the root system. What you'd seen was the trunk of the tree and the branches and the leaves. But the root system was out of sight. The root system being sent down deep into the soil, taking in the moisture from the water that had been supplied to it. Also providing that stability to the tree. Now, what are we to make of this? Well, we should consider the rivers of water as a descriptive picture of the Word of God. The rivers of water as a descriptive picture of the Word of God. The Christian man and woman, as he studies and meditates and prays on God's Word, he takes in. He takes in from the Word as the roots take in moisture from the water supplied to them and distribute the water throughout all and the sap throughout all the branches of the tree. The man and woman then takes in from the Word of God and lives out his or her life in a way that is regulated by what the Word of God teaches. You see the beautiful picture as we are described, the Christian man and woman is described by this green and fruitful tree. It's a marvelous illustration that the man of God has a regulated life. His behaviour, one that pervades his whole life and its character and its morals and in his or her disposition. Its soil and its situation then planted by the rivers of water. Thirdly, its yield that bringeth forth fruit. Verse 3 tells us, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." It bringeth forth fruit. Its yield. See, in such a case, a man who follows the signpost in verses 1 and 2. And it's about following this signpost to a life set apart. A man who follows the signpost, there is an expectation that is never disappointed. Fruit is expected. Fruit is produced. Being obedient to Scripture is following the signposts. Simply following the signpost in the direction that the signpost points, and following along that narrow way that leads to eternal life. Following the signposts. Following the directions. As we follow the signpost, then we are sure to produce the fruits of righteousness. He or she who reads and prays and meditates on God's word, not in some haphazard way, not in a careless fashion, only affording perhaps 5 or 10 minutes and then rushing out or rushing on to do something else. But he or she who deliberately sets time aside to read and to consider and to meditate and to pray on God's word for direction and help and guidance. That person is described as the green and fruitful tree. That person's fruit will naturally come. This psalm anticipates Christ's teaching in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The Apostle Paul, again, when he was writing to the Romans in chapter 6 and verse 22, Apostle Paul says, he says of the Christian man or woman, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Isn't that lovely? Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. But you see, the relationship with this fruit yield on the tree is much more intimate than that. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You see, our dependence on God is to be total. Total. Not just a partial obedience or a partial dependence. It has to be a total dependence on God and upon his word. Total dependence. Without me, the Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Simple as that. So we need to take cognizance of that. So the tree, its soil, its situation by the rivers of water, its yield, what fruit it brings forth. And fourthly, the fourth point, its foliage, the leaves on the tree, its foliage. His leaf also shall not wither, verse 3 tells us. God's plantings are all evergreen. As the fruit and the leaves are the evidence of the soundness of the tree. And if we look at a tree and we see the green foliage and we see the tree, we can assume that the tree is in a healthy and sound condition. The fruit and the leaves are the evidence of the soundness of the tree. And so the godly man or woman's profession of genuine Christianity will be expressed by faith and demonstrated by their works. This expression, his leaf also shall not wither, is expressive of the saint's perseverance. The saint's perseverance. The reasons of which are that they are engrafted in Christ, who is the true vine. But this tree that is planted, this green and fruitful tree that is planted by the rivers of water, will have to withstand changing weather conditions. Have to withstand changing weather conditions. Storms will come. Strong winds will blow through its branches. And so the believer from time to time will have to endure tough and harsh times from the world, the flesh, and the devil on their journey along the narrow path to glory. His foliage, the perseverance of the saints, is expressed by these leaves on the tree that do not wither. They're evergreen. And fifthly and finally, the tree's maturity. Psalm 1 and verse 3 tells us that not only will his leaf not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The tree's maturity, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. As this green and fruitful tree, as it extends its root system downward, it pushes its branches upwards and outwards. The roots go down, the branches go out and they go up. There is a development of the tree. Increasing its stature, circulating its sap throughout, the picture is of a healthy, green and fruitful tree. And so the godly man or the woman is ever taking deeper root and growing stronger in the grace that he or she has already received. Setting his affections on things above, as we had heard earlier from Colossians chapter 3. Under the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit in his life, forming those desires after godliness and holiness of life, bringing forth much fruit to the glory of God. The green and fruitful tree, its soil, its situation, its yield, its foliage, its maturity. So in conclusion, what have we learned from Psalm 1 verse 3 concerning this green and fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water? Firstly, there is divine cultivation. A godly man or woman is not like a tree that grows wild or has been seeded by chance, but a tree planted and given all opportunity for growth and fruit bearing. Secondly, the tree has been given access to an unfailing supply of water. An unfailing supply of water. The Christian has the Word of God, which is eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Number three, because the believer is rooted in Christ, he will naturally bring forth fruit. A picture of godly character developed under God's supervision and by God's means. Fourthly, perseverance in faith and works. There may be times in his life when he will experience discouragement. Have we all experienced discouragement? There will be times in the believer's life when he will experience discouragement, hostility, persecution, affliction, ill health. When he, Job had said in Job chapter, and this is a beautiful verse, in Job chapter 23 and verse 10, we know that Job, the things that Job, the afflictions that Job underwent. And he said in chapter 23 and verse 10, this beautiful verse, and Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." When he knoweth the way that I take, but when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yes, we may face discouragement, hostility, persecution, affliction and ill health. Number five, maturity, our growth in grace. Again, I often quote what Peter had said in 2 Peter chapter 3, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. The servant of God resembles a green, fruitful tree. Firstly, in its stability. Secondly, in its fruitfulness. And thirdly, in its growth. I want to ask you a question this morning, or this afternoon now. want to ask this question. Is your life described as this green and fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water? And if your life is not as described in verse 3, it is because you have not met the qualifying conditions of verses 1 and 2. It is not a fault of the Word of God. The fault lies with you, my dear friend, because you have not met the qualifying conditions of verse 1 and 2. I want us to close by quoting two verses by the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verses 7 and 8. Now listen carefully, because this resembles Psalm 1 very, very closely, especially verse 3, what we have been speaking on this morning. It reiterates and substantiates what the psalmist said in verse 3 of Psalm number 1. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Listen carefully. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Isn't that beautiful? And not beautiful verses from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. They'll not be careful in the year of drought, because there is an unfailing supply of water supplied. And the water is a descriptive of the Word of God for the Christian. Unfailing supply of the Word of God. What a beautiful picture. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Are you this morning, this descriptive picture of this green fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water? I trust that you are. Thank you for your attention, and please consider what we have heard this morning, that we would all bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Amen. Thank you for your attention.